I would like to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at one of the most practical portions of Scripture this morning as we talk about what it means to walk by faith. And the words that we're about to read are absolutely incredible. Let's stand together. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. In other words, let's not argue. Let's settle this issue. And let's do things that edify one another. For the sake of eating meat, don't destroy the work of God. All things are pure. In other words, you can eat meat. You're free to do that. Meat offered to pagan idols. However, if in your heart or conscience you believe it to be evil, then it is. So it is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, Paul is not saying that you can't eat meat offered to an idol, and you can't drink wine. Jesus turned the water into wine. Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. What he's saying is this. If you're around some brothers in Christ or some sisters in Christ who think it is sinful to do those things, then just don't do it. Wait until they're gone. Don't do it in their presence. That's in essence what he's saying. Do you have faith? Verse 22. Have it to thyself before God. Happy, blessed is he that doesn't condemn himself in the things that he allows. But he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eats not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Thank you. You may be seated. From this text, I want you to see three very simple things. As you seek to live your life in freedom, walking by faith in the righteousness of Christ, you can best do that by being fully convinced of the gospel. And I hope that I can say this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I personally am convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you are too. That's the only way you can live the life of faith. What is the gospel? The gospel is clear. I will not let anybody try to tell me that my worth is found in my performance. Oh no. My worth, my significance is found in Christ. It is not based upon my good works. Oh, but it's all based upon Christ's good works. Therefore, I am right with God, fully acceptable to Him, sanctified and holy because of Christ. Now, I can go eat meat that's been offered to an idol. That does not affect my righteousness. And it doesn't affect my standing with God. I'm free. And I'm not going to let anybody persuade me of any different thing. You say, well, Pastor, I believe that. Doesn't every Christian believe that? Well, no. Here's what happens. If you don't understand what is called the doctrine of justification, that you are justified in the eyes of God through the work of Christ and not your own performance. If you don't understand that, you will immediately begin looking at other people's performance. There would not have been a problem in the Roman church had the people who struggled with going down to the marketplace and buying the meat from the pagan priest just not done it and kept silent and allowed the others to be free in doing it. There would not have been a problem. The only reason a problem arose is because people began to measure other people's spirituality. You're in sin. You're not as holy as I am. Because you've gone down and bought some meat today. How can you do that? Oh, when we start pointing out other people's problems, we stop living the life of faith. And have you ever noticed by human nature, it is so easy to point out the problems in other people, and you're so blind to your own? Tim Taylor was telling me the story about an older man who years ago worked in the cotton fields. He and his brother would go out on Saturdays, make a little bit of extra money, and then they'd pick cotton. And oh, I mean, it was hot down by Hennessy. Every Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, sweat was rolling off their face, sun was beating down. I mean, it was hot. And so these two boys would sneak off and they'd go take a dip in the river. I mean, they loved it. It was what they looked forward to. It's what kept them going. This older man was telling Tim this story last week. He said he will never forget how one Sunday in church, the preacher must have been told by somebody who owned a cotton field where the boys had been working the week before that the boys had sloughed off in their work, gone swimming when they should have been picking cotton. And so as the preacher was waxing eloquent on slothfulness, he pointed at the two boys and called them by name and said, "Young men, it is a sin to be slothful while you're picking cotton." The older man said he'll never forget the feeling of shame and the blush that came over him as the preacher pointed out his faults before the entire congregation. Well, lo and behold, the next week, this boy's mother invited the preacher over to eat with them. And you know, when the preacher comes to eat, mom's going to put out a feast. And she killed 9 pullets. You know what pullets are? Young hens. She killed 9 pullets for the preacher. And the preacher sat down at that dinner table, offered thanks, and ate every one of those pullets. Isn't that just like a preacher? That older man said when he was a boy, he looked at that preacher. He literally ate all of the good meat. By the time the boys got the young hens, there was only backs and wings. Isn't it just like preachers to point out the problems in other people and miss the very problem of gluttony? You see, it might be better just to let people be free to go swimming in the creek, to let people be free to do that which they feel led to do, and then just focus on our own problems. Bill Bickerstaff, he was in the early service. He gave me permission to share this story. He was a little ornery when, well, he still is ornery, but he was more ornery when he was a boy. Bill signed up to go in the Army. And before he was to go off to basic training, he let his hair grow really long. And he was in church, and, you know, he was in a church where, this is what I'm trying to talk about here, where rather than understanding freedom that comes in Christ and enjoying Christ and walking by faith in His righteousness and trusting Him, there's all kinds of restrictions that are placed on people. So, I mean, you can always tell these kinds of churches because everybody looks the same, dresses the same, talks the same. I mean, you look around here, some people, I mean, wear suits, some shorts, some have sandals on. Nobody looks the same. Everybody's different. That's a sign of freedom. Oh, Bill was in a church, though, where all kinds of restrictions were put on. And you know who put the restrictions on you? Other people. We're not going to talk about restrictions on ourselves. We're going to talk about restrictions on other people. And during the message, the preacher called down Bill and said, "Bill, don't you think it's about time you lost 10 pounds of that hair?" Well, Bill said, he was mortified. He said after church, he went up to the preacher privately and said, "Preacher, I bet you I'll lose 10 pounds of my hair before you lose 10 pounds of that fat." Like I said, Bill was ornery back then. You know, good for Bill. Here's why I say that. when we start putting our noses in other people's business, and when we start telling people how they ought to be and how they ought to behave and how they ought to live and how they ought to do this and how they ought to do that, and when we start comparing them to us and we measure them by how we look, we have lost sight of what it means to walk by faith. Oh, I'll give you another illustration. Democratic Convention just ended. Got a lot of folks in our church who are probably Republican. But let me tell you something. We better be careful if we ever think that a Christian must be a Republican. Oh my. I thank the Lord for good, born again, Democratic Christians who are part of the leadership of the Democratic Party, who love the Lord Jesus Christ. We better be careful here. It seems like what Paul is saying in the issue of eating meat is this. Look, some people may live differently than you. Some people may have different convictions than you. In fact, some people may think something's a sin if they do it. Fine. Let them live by those convictions. But if you're that person, don't put your convictions on somebody else. Just work on yourself. Let the Lord deal with His children in His time, in His way. The truth is, human nature makes it easy to pick out weaknesses in others and look past our own weaknesses and failures. But when the person of faith realizes that all the people of God are accepted by the righteousness of Christ, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, you have a church built upon the foundation of freedom. So I'm convinced of the gospel. And if I were in Rome and the issue came up about eating meat and my family were involved, I'll tell you how I would respond. I would say, honey, we're going to go down, we're going to buy some meat. We're going to have good steak tonight. Now, there might be some people who are in the church who may think it's a sin for me to go buy some meat in the agora. Now, I want you to see a second thing. They will never stop me in my freedom, but I'm also concerned for the gospel. Not only convinced of it, I'm concerned for it. What I mean by that is this. It seems that the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 19, follow after those things that bring peace and strengthen. He goes on to say, in your freedom to eat meat, don't destroy the work of God. Indeed, eating meat is fine. There's nothing evil with it. But if you're with a brother who thinks that it is sinful, then it is better in the presence of your brother not to eat the meat or drink the wine, lest your brother stumble. In other words, I will be flexible in my personal convictions, and I will abstain from eating meat when I am around those who consider it sinful. Not because I believe the behavior is sinful, or that I am more pleasing to God when I act like them. But for their sakes, I abstain. They may not understand or grasp the freeing power of the gospel yet. That's fine. It's not my business to make sure they understand it. They're the Lord's child. I'm not their judge. I trust God to do His work in their lives in His time. Therefore, I will never force my convictions on you. For meat destroy not the work of God. What that means is, don't force someone who refuses to eat meat because they believe it's sinful to eat it by judging them if they don't. Don't do that, Paul says. Let them have their restrictions. Let them have their convictions and embrace them and enjoy them and abstain with them when you're present with them. And don't make them feel foolish. Don't judge them. They're your brother. God made them the way they are. Love them. So, I have my convictions about politics, facial hair, art, drinking, eating, etc. But I enjoy your company. And if you are different, I do not demand that you change. I will change for you in your presence. So, Paul says, you help out that person that's struggling with an issue, believing it's sin. You just help them out. Help them avoid it. But be convinced of the gospel. Avoiding it doesn't do anything for you spiritually. That's living by faith. That's understanding freedom. You get an environment where people develop their convictions regarding eating and drinking and dressing and so on, and they develop their convictions between them and the Lord, and they are free to live them. Because in the context of justification and the grace of God, well, we receive each other like we are and enjoy the differences. I never ask you to look like me, to talk like me, to act like me, to dress like me, to eat like me, to drink like me. I never asked you to do that. You don't ask me to do that. And we just enjoy each other. Let me show you a final thing. Not only does this text teach us that we are to be convinced of the gospel, not only are we to be concerned for the gospel, but Paul says, I am complete through the gospel. That's verse 22. Blessed or happy is the man who does not condemn himself. Do you see what Paul is saying? The only person who doesn't condemn himself is the person who understands he's justified. How many of you go through life condemning yourself? Paul says, happy is the man who's gotten past that, who is justified not by his actions, but by his faith in Christ. Now, live your life. Enjoy life. If you find something detrimental to you personally, avoid it. If it's not good, if it doesn't leave a lasting legacy, if it's destructive somehow in your relationships, avoid it. I'll help you avoid it. But don't make others avoid it because of your problem. For instance, how silly would it be? Let's say you are trying to lose weight, and I'm going to assist you in every way that I can. But will you ask me, when I'm not in your presence, to boycott McDonald's? Because McDonald's is a sin to you? Of course not. Carry the logic over to meat and drink, to dress. Do you not see that what Paul is saying is this? The people who understand justification are free, and they let God be the discipler of his own people. The person who enjoys the free power of the gospel lives every day by faith in the Son of God. Life is not so much about do's and don'ts, but about Jesus Christ. This kind of life, lived in full view of the world, has an evangelistic enticement. What that means is when people see you live this way, they want to know the Jesus you know. Listen to this great quote by Sheldon Van Noken. The best argument for Christianity is Christians. Their joy, their certainty, their completeness. But the strongest argument against Christianity is also Christians. When they are somber and joyless, when they are self-righteous and smug, when they are narrow and repressive, then Christianity dies 1,000 deaths. When the joy, the certainty, the completeness, and the beauty of the Christian community is cultivated and communicated, evangelism is the glorious result. You know what that means? Simply put, you get men like meet together on Tuesday morning, men from every rank of society, men coming in jeans, coming in suits, Men with long hair, men with short hair. Some men smoke, some men don't. Some men drink, some men don't. Some men talk different ways than other men. Nobody is condemned. Nobody is shamed. Nobody is judged. And we fellowship around Christ and enjoy each other. And the joy and the beauty of the freedom in that room of 30 men is enticing. You get a man who doesn't know Christ, and you put him in the middle of that room, something draws at his heart. I want to know this Jesus that has set these men free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I close with this illustration. Years ago in China, a Chinese woman came to faith in Jesus Christ through the influence of a Southern Baptist missionary. She received Christ as her Lord and Savior, and at the first meeting she had with the missionary after her conversion, this Southern Baptist lady said to the Chinese woman, "Now that you've become a Christian, I want you to prove your love for God by no longer smoking your pipe at night with your husband." The Chinese lady said, "Why?" And the Southern Baptist missionary said, "Because God disapproves." How sad. To make a long story short, that Chinese woman went home to her lost husband. It is the custom of Chinese people, particularly in rural communities where this woman lived, for the husband and the wife, the father and the mother, to go out on the back porch at night before they go to bed and to smoke a pipe together, to relax, to visit about the day, and then go to bed. But the Southern Baptist missionary had in her mind that the way a spiritual, holy Christian is supposed to live is this way. And so she told this lady, "To prove your love for God, live like this." She went home and her husband said, "If this is the kind of God you found, I want nothing to do with him or you." Marriage fell apart. The woman, in shame, smoked in secret to try to keep her marriage together and was accused by the Southern Baptist missionary of being a backslider. Wow. Why can't we have missionaries? And by the way, I think we do, and they're growing. But why can't we have all of our missionaries teach the beautiful doctrine of justification and show people that our righteousness is not found in what we do or don't do? It is found in Jesus Christ. Now know Him and enjoy life. And if you find something is detrimental for you, like smoking, then stop it. But don't impose it on somebody else. You work it out yourself. This is what Paul is saying. And if I'm in your presence and I smoke a pipe, oh, by the way, when Charles Spurgeon, my hero in the ministry, ministered for 50 years at his church at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, he loved his cigars. D.L. Moody once traveled across the ocean and preached a message against the sin of smoking. And there was a stunned silence in the congregation because everybody knew how much Charles Spurgeon loved to smoke his cigars. And when the sermon was over, Spurgeon did what I might have done.
He came up and said, "Dr. Moody, thank you for that wonderful message on the sin of smoking. I have learned a great deal, and I would like everyone here to know I shall continue smoking my cigars for the glory of God." Now, if that statement bothers you, you don't understand the doctrine of justification. God had not yet done any work of conviction in Spurgeon's heart to stop smoking. And since the Bible is silent, then we're going to remain silent. Eating meat, drinking, dressing. In those issues where there are freedom, we're going to give it. And I'm telling you, what you have is a group of people who trust Christ and live in freedom. You say, "Pastor, but wait a minute, what about the laws now? What about the law?" Well, what about the laws? Of course, if laws are broken, we're going to love people back into submission to the laws. I mean, of course. Of course. Laws are good. They're for our good. And if somebody's violated the law of the land, we're going to go. We're going to help them because it's detrimental to them. But I'm talking about that big gray area of freedom. Oh, I thank the Lord that Emmanuel Baptist Church is learning about this freedom. And may God continue to sear it into our hearts and to let us flesh it out in the relationships that we have. Some of you won't like this message. Some of you will. My prayer is that I've been faithful to the text, and you have seen three simple things. I'm convinced of the gospel. Don't let anybody try to tell you you're right with God by your performance. I am concerned, however, for the gospel, in the sense that if people are struggling with particular issues, then I will abstain from those issues in their presence for their good, to help them. But I myself am complete through the gospel. And I just love Christ. And I love His righteousness. And I trust in Him. Oh, may God give us the grace to be people of faith like that.